John Breaker One, this is Shark Pants Free Radio. Gamers, get your ears on, because we're blowing the speakers out.
Grimdark Live. Weekly webcast for all things dice, dragons, demons, and a dwarf in the Warhammer worlds. Don't miss our live show on Thursdays, but for now, you've got us on sloppy seconds with our podcast with the Grimdark Gang. It's time once again for Grimdark Live.
Hey, welcome to Grimdark Live, weekly webcast for all things dice, dragons, demons, and a dwarf in the Warhammer worlds. I'm your host, Patrick, and as always, my co-host, Steve. What do you hear? What do you say, bud?
I'm deep within inside this zombie bunker.
I got to tell you, we are all hunkering down, man. We are all hunkering down. But you know what? The show must go on, man. We are going to keep rolling with all this dice, dragons, demons, and a dwarf. And we got a great, we got some great topics. We got a great guest with us tonight. But Steve, before we get to our guest and introduce him, what do you got, man? What are you going to be jawjacking with us on tonight?
Well, you know, we're going to be talking a little bit more about Cities of Sigmar. And then I thought we would touch on our new Seraphon. And we've got the perfect guy for both because he plays the both.
That's right. And we got a lot of stuff in the news that I think our guest is going to be able to kind of back us up on here a little bit, too. We're going to be talking a little bit more about the rumor engine. That's something that Grimdark Live got away from for a long time just because... you know, every dice chucking nerd out there that found a microphone and a computer connection was talking about it. So we decided that we were going to kind of back off from a little bit. But we've got some tie-ins here that I think are going to come back into maybe Warcry with this rumor engine. And then we're going to talk a little bit in the news about a great group that I stumbled across called Adepticant. And it's actually a very positive group that is kind of in response to the recent Adepticon 2020 cancel that occurred due to the coronavirus. And then we're going to have some questions about some of the new reveals that were supposed to be upcoming. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of those things that were supposed to be upcoming from Adepticon. And of course, yeah, we got the Seraphon. But, you know, we got the Cities of Sigmar. And specifically with that, Steve, right, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Hollow Heart and the Greywater Fastness, right?
Yeah, because our guest obviously plays both of them and Greywater Fastness predominantly, but we still are missing that one crucial component of that army, and that's the Hollow Heart.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get to that. You know, and let me tell you, the guy that I'm going to be introducing here, folks, he doesn't play the army. He beats the hell out of us at the table, every one of our war meets. And we do. We have a great guest with us on the show this tonight, and he's a Grimdark goon, and he's actually here to talk about Seraphon and Cities of Sigmar topics this evening, Justin Bradley. Justin, welcome to the show, bud.
Thanks for having me tonight.
Oh, absolutely, man. All the years that we've known you, and you know, I finally got through to Steve to let you on the show. He's been so against it for the longest time, and it was tough.
What are you talking about? Are you kidding me? My trolls love keeping up with that army.
I'm telling you right now, Justin, I had to do everything I could. I had to fight tooth and nail to get you on the show because of this guy. Aren't you happy that I did that for you?
Hey, you want to know why my trolls love teaming up with that tank army? Because we just follow the cannonballs.
That's very true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Just tell us where to go and we'll smash it.
That's a great philosophy.
Hammer and anvil always works. So
that's it. So Justin, how you hanging in there, man? With this COVID-19 stuff, you hunkering down? You getting some hobbying done?
I'm currently working on some of the terrain pieces for Armed Forces Day for Grimdark and getting some of my hobby stuff and deciding on which army I want to bring to the table.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, that is the choice. And we're going to get into that a little bit more in the news. But yeah, folks, as long as we don't end up in the zombie apocalypse, Armed Forces Day 2020, Armed Forces Day 3 is still a go. But that's a little bit down the road yet. We're gonna get into that. We've got one little development that happened with Armed Forces Day that I think is going to be pretty great for people to hear. But, you know, and Steve, Justin, if you'll allow me to kind of park the Winnebago here for a second, I want to make a quick announcement before we get rolling. Due to the coronavirus, aka COVID-19, some of our t-shirt deliveries have been delayed. What they're telling me could be as much as 2 weeks of a delay. So please bear with us. If we can get the shirts faster, then we sure will. But don't forget, Grimdark Live also sells dice and can paint armies as well. So head over to grimdarklive.com for more information. But additionally, and more important to that, Grimdark Live wants to implore everyone to respect this pandemic and remember nothing about this is trivial. And please remember the folks out there in the thick of this situation, those that, you know, cannot stay home, you know, your firefighters, your police officers, your nurses and doctors, especially them, grocery store and delivery company and retail employees, and so many others that have to be present to serve the populace through this, please consider the folks most at risk, such as the elderly and the kids. Social distancing, remember, guys, doesn't mean social disengagement, I guess is the best way to put it. And finally, don't panic. Just do your part. And hey, you know, your part could be, you know, being quarantined in your home and listening to Grimdark Live. So it works out, right?
Well, yeah. We don't want to torture them too much.
Hey.
Wow.
See, Justin, this is what I have to put up with every week, man. I fought tooth and nail to get you on the show. I don't know why he was so mad at you for so long. Probably those beatings you laid down on him with that city's army.
He has had several troll armies just kind of disappear to it. So
man. Oh, no, you didn't. That kind of got his blood pressure up, Justin. Did you hear that a little bit? That bothered me a little.
A little bit.
All right.
I told you, we just follow the cannonballs.
That's it. Well, and as always, we got the question of the day and the closing thought towards the end of the show.
Hey, you Grimdark goons. Thank you all so much for listening to our Grimdark Live podcast. If you're new to the Grimdark Live experience or new to our podcast and like what you hear, please follow this podcast and pass us along to your friends. Let us know what you think about Grimdark Live in the show's comment sections, and let us know just how we're doing. Also, don't forget to catch us live on Thursdays. And if that ain't enough for you, check out our website at www.grimdarklive.com. That's grimdarklive.com. Anyway, thanks for listening, following, and just being awesome.
Without further ado, we are going to get rolling with this. But as we said in the beginning of the show here, folks, we have a great guest with us tonight. Our guest is Justin Bradley, a great guy and a Grimdark goon and a great personal friend of mine and Steve's. Someone that we've known for Justin, what, 12 years plus, more?
About 13. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, at least.
Forever.
Yeah, it's getting there. You met Steve shortly after he came out of prison, didn't you? You guys?
No.
Oh.
It was in prison. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's right. You guys were cellies together. I forgot about that. I forgot about that. You know, all the stories about the peanut butter and the prunes. I forgot all about all those things.
Will you stop?
What are you talking about, Steve? I'm just trying to, you know, get acclimated again with our friend here. You're always getting upset.
Lord Almighty, will you keep this show rolling?
That's it. But, you know, he's a heck of a gamer to boot. Justin, thanks again for being with us, pal.
Hey, not a problem. I enjoy doing this. So,
yeah. So before we get rolling, give our listeners a little bit about your background and the hobby, who and what you are in the game.
Well, I'm predominantly an order player. I've been playing this hobby now for almost 30 years. I started a long time ago. I worked for DW for a little while, so I got acclimated pretty quickly to the processes of how the models were being made, things of that manner. And I fell in love with the hobby just because of the painting aspect, the building aspect, the gaming aspect, the fact that you can do anything in this game. Armies I'm playing, anything order, I will find a way to make it lethal. And I've pretty much proven that one. And
now, why is that? Why do you think that you play order? Why is it order?
Order has, in my personal opinion, some of the best combos in all the books. They have the wombo combos. They have the trick combos. They have the ability to bait and switch you. They have the ability to just turn you on your ear without you seeing it coming. And a lot of the time it takes sacrifice of those armies. You're throwing units into the chipper shredder, so to speak, but it throws your opponent so off in left field that they don't see the left hook coming. I don't know. It's just something I've been catching in the order books, that every one of the books that they've put out recently has got something in it that allows that left hook to come in and just win the game.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with you.
Yeah, after the show, I got to talk to you about my damn dispossessed, man. You got to help me wake them bastards up. All right.
The who?
See, Justin.
Would that be the Dwarden?
This is what we're going to have to put up with the entire show. But before we get into that, and I know that this is going to be a great show just because you're here with the Sylvaneth, I mean the Seraphon that we're going to be talking about, and of course getting back into your army that you currently play as the Cities of Sigmar. And I think that for everyone out there listening, man, get comfortable, man. You know, and listen to this. We got a great show.
A public service announcement brought to you by Frag Factory 3D Printing. Many of us have thousands of dollars in miniatures, yet we play on flat tables with books and overturned Tupperware to act as our fantasy and sci-fi landscapes. We've all drooled over the tables we see in magazines, lush with beautifully created terrain from all genres. The crew at Frag Factory 3D Printing want to wipe that drool from your chin and put it firmly on your friends and fellow gamers when they see your setup. Alien landscapes, desert wastelands, futuristic cities, fantasy outposts, elven forests, demonic stronghold, and so much more. Find out what you've been missing by checking us out on Facebook at Frag Factory 3D Printing or send us an email at fragfactory3dprinting@gmail.com. Bring your own files or we will help you find what you've been searching for. Take your gaming to the next level with Frag Factory 3D Printing. We print life into your games. Tell them Grimdark Live sent you and your first hour of printing is free.
Hey gang, in all seriousness, get your terrain on the table and get it with Frag Factory 3D Printing. And remember, tell them Grimdark Live sent you and they'll give you 1 hour free. You can get them via email at fragfactory3dprinting@gmail.com or their Facebook page, Frag Factory 3D Printing.
Frag Factory 3D Printing, printing life into your games.
Now, back to the show. But first, we got to get to the news. There's a lot, guys. You know, it's funny with kind of the stalemate that we're in with the virus and Adepticon being closed down. I mean, there's quite a bit to
there's
really
a
get
lot
into.
Going
here.
On, yeah.
The gaming industry is going to keep on rolling regardless. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. But
well, I think it's more than that. I think that the industry. I think that people need the industry now more than ever.
Yeah.
I definitely would agree with you there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's funny because with the way that the hobby right now is going, people are really kind of banding together. I mean, they're making sure that they're keeping things going. And we're going to get into that here in a little bit of our next news topic here, which is this Adepticant. But I'm really impressed with the community, aren't you guys?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. I mean, the way that we've been seeing the community making sure that you know, people are out there being engaged and talking about what they're working on, and it really is very fascinating to me as far as you know, the folks out there, as far as, you know, taking care of, making sure that everyone is being taken care of. But what we have here is the rumor engine. Now, I know that, as I said before, we don't really get into this. I'm going to guess that this is probably for Warcry. I know I kind of said at the beginning of the show, this to me was something for like a Warcry band of Scion, of, you know, maybe Scions of Flame. You know, they seem to have a demon skull motif. Thoughts? What do you guys think?
If you look at that picture in the above the skull, there appears to be the Chaos Star.
That's right.
So it leads me to believe that it's something for 40K, because I don't think we have anything coming out for Fantasy Chaos anytime soon.
Yeah, it
no,
looks it does
I,
look very
I don't
fantasy.
Even think that either.
It still looks very fantasy to me though. I don't see the 40K, because if you look at the top of the staff here before you get to the skull, the leather wrapping and all that, I don't know. That still looks very fantasy to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I doubt.
See, I'm not seeing a weapon there though.
Yeah,
I'm seeing a banner icon or something of that manner, something that's going to be hoisted and carried forward as like a boon engine or something of that manner. That's, you know, they're going to plant this thing and everything around it's going to get a boon. You're going to get a buff, something.
Okay, are you saying you're leaning towards 40K on this one?
I'm thinking it's more 40K.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. Well, then I guess I'm outnumbered then, you bastards. I thought this thing was for sure fantasy, but we'll...
Well, think of it logically. There's nothing that it could be coming out for fantasy other than Warcry.
Yeah. Right, and that's kind of what I—that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, all the fantasy books are gone. I mean, they're done. All the books are done.
And last time I checked, Warcry doesn't deal with boons or any kind of buffs like that.
You know, that's a good point, Justin. That's a great point. All right, yeah, so, maybe I stand corrected. But yeah, that was—I just want to kind of throw that out there because I found it interesting. But moving on was the group that I kind of mentioned before we got started. And that's this group here that I'm presenting called Adepticant. just a great Facebook group that was started from basically the community. Now I think the page here was actually started by Ray Rappaport and Lynn Stahl. I think Lynn was the main person behind this, along with a couple of other people. I think it was Dante Nickens and Brandon Dalzell. And they put this together as a way to kind of reach out to the community to kind of say, hey, look, you know, we're all still out here just because Adepticon isn't around. And they already have over 1,000 members. So this thing just blew up. And it's a place for community to come together and show what an amazing community this is and how much there is to share. I have I've seen project updates, backlog pictures, hobby tips, memories of past Adepticons. I've seen some challenges out there as far as people trying to get certain painting objectives done before the next person, and support. That's really the biggest thing. You know, people that were really, and it's funny, Steve and Justin, there's a lot of people that use Adepticon as that one benchmark in their life, that one vacation that they take. So there's a lot of people that were really like emotionally, I was surprised by that. They were emotionally hit hard that it was canceled.
Well, some guys only get to see their friends once a year.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. It's that meeting place for a lot of people to get together that may not see everybody. You know, they may talk to them, but not see them.
Yeah. And I was so impressed by this because these people that put this together and then the response that they've gotten, they didn't have to do this. You know, they could have shrugged their shoulders and said, oh, well, you know what? It's just another, you know, tournament that's come and gone, because it's not the only one that's been canceled because of this. But
everything.
Yeah, I just find it really great that they put this together. And you know, I've said it before, and I've said it a thousand times more. You know, stuff like this really makes me proud to be part of this community. And I was generally impressed by this response to the cancel of Adepticon. But we cannot forget the reason. Adepticon and so many other things were canceled due to the COVID virus. And that's kind of what I want to lead into to our next topic here as far as the news goes. And that's really kind of supporting your local game store. You know, in light of the COVID-19, you know, many small businesses are having to limit their hours or shut down due to social distancing restrictions or make refunds or canceled events. You know, we can't forget about them during these times. And I know that we're going to be kind of touching on this here a little bit later in the show too. So I don't want to, you know, embellish upon it too much, but I think the common sense is there. I think, these folks are running these stores that for many of them, this is their main livelihood. You know, many, this is all they have, you know, to put food on the table. And I ask people to consider that these stores, what they've meant to us, and that they should not be taken for granted in these times. You know, we've talked about supporting your local game store, you know, for a while on this show. And these small businesses already have a tough enough time with the likes of Amazon or eBay, you know, taking up their market share and casting doubt on the brick and mortar stores' survival. So just remember that they're out there. And at times like this, you know, it might not hurt to check on, you know, your buddy or whoever that's managing or whoever's owning the store. You know, even sometimes if they had to cut back on their staff and they can't leave the store, maybe, you know, ask them if you can swing by one of these stores that are just doing takeout food and bring them a sandwich. You know, but don't forget about the people that are out there. And I know, Steve, you're going to be touching on this here in a little bit, so I won't really get into any more than that.
No, but I think it's well said what you just said.
Yeah, and you know, really, guys, without supporting your local game store, there's going to be no gaming community, which means less opportunity to game with others. But I do want to say one thing before we continue. I wanted to kind of throw a shout out there to our home store, and that's GameStorm Games. You know, these guys are really toeing the line. They're doing so many great things for the community, and they're growing. And John is really running a great store over there. And he hasn't given into the panic, but at the same time, he's really he's really upheld the consideration for the gamers. You know, he has a lot of comments on, offering curbside pickup if people don't want to come into the store. You know, sure. he is limiting some of the exposure in the store, but he's really going that extra mile for his clients. He's not just taking the quick road and just, shutting down his hobby and gaming space and saying, well, that's it. He's showing a little bit more consideration and kind of going the extra mile. So I wanted to kind of point that out because, you know, John's doing a great job and GameStorm is a fantastic store in light
of. Well, I think John understands probably more than a lot of us that people need to have something to break up the monotony. And he's offering his store as a means of you still being able to come in and pick up your hobby supplies. He's, obviously we want people to, still hobby and still do things.
Right.
And John is providing that is providing that service for us.
Right.
We have to stand by our stores, guys. We can't just abandon these people because if we do, when this thing is over, and it is going to end like all plagues and diseases and viruses, it's going to end. And then what are we going to do? Now, look, there's nothing more important than being safe. We don't want to take something home to an elderly relative,
right,
or you might even live in a home with an elderly relative. You don't want to take that home, but you also don't want to be so paranoid that you can't even walk out your door.
That's very true. That's very true.
So I praise Don for what he's doing. And I think that he is contributing a lot to the sanity of the community.
I agree. But moving on here, guys, we got our next topic here with the news. And that's, that's, of course, in lieu of Adepticon, being canceled. I kind of want to talk a little bit about what was supposed to be. You know, I know that there was going to be some reveals that were going to be coming out at Adepticon. And of course, obviously, with that being canceled, I think at this point, and we're going to be talking about the Seraphon. But the only thing that was kind of revealed that we know of was the Seraphon. I know that we've gotten some Lumineth Realm Lords. They were going to have a hard reveal, though, that we missed out on. And there was some other stuff that we're going to be getting into. But I think that's really what the community is kind of waiting for. Wouldn't you agree that everyone's kind of got they're kind of holding their breath waiting for that deliverable, that what's going to be coming out next? They didn't get that at Adepticon this year.
Well, we have two dates. We have March 28th. GW is going to be releasing something on their website.
That's right. Yeah.
And then they are going to release something again on April 4th, I believe the date is.
Right.
Okay.
So there's two dates that we're going to be watching for the reveals.
Okay.
And I'm hoping both of them have Lumineth Realm Lords reveals. That army is going to be the next hotness.
Oof, boy.
Well, boy, we're going to talk about that. But before that, we're going to go to Stormcast. One of the reveals that was discussed was this Knight Questor, Dacian Anvil. I hope I got that name right. He was first previewed a while back with no real answer given as to where he would pop up. However, he was supposed to have been unveiled at Adepticon 2020. So no real news on what this character is going to be doing for that Stormcast army. But it's also too important to note another thing just off the top of my head here, that the Golden Demon painting competition was supposed to be held at the event, along with a brand new Golden Demon trophy up for grabs. What could happen with this? I mean, do you think at some point in this year, I mean, Justin, you're a pretty darn good painter. What are your thoughts as far as will the Golden Demon be coming out again in another avenue this year, you think?
I think they might move it personally to an online contest.
Okay.
And then that way the community can vote on it. The judges have better ways to look at it, to pick through pictures and things of that manner. They can digitally check everything on it. They can change, the scoring system goes higher that way. But I think if they moved it to more of a digital format where the community can then put their input on it, you'll see a much broader spectrum of people entering the Golden Demon.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, it's interesting to me what they're going to do with that. That one kind of caught me because I hadn't heard anyone talk about that. And I was kind of interested to kind of bring that one up. But Also, two Age of Sigmar factions that that should have gotten their grand reveal at Adepticon. We know that that the Lumineth Realm Lords are still out and about. And as a side note on the Lumineth Realm Lords, if you take a look here, you know, Steve, you and I were kind of talking about this at this this post here that was made, and basically, it's funny. There, one person at a on a page, I'm not going to give the name away, said, "I really hate that GW is planning to pass us off as the equivalent of high elves in Age of Sigmar. I'm going to steal the paint scheme for the army of older elves I have not painted. Any thoughts on the colors I can use?" But here's people. You know, there is such a mixed emotion. There's such a split in the community as far as how they feel. You've all heard my point, my take on the Lumineth Realm Lords, and that's kind of where I think I stand. Steve, I think everyone knows where you stand, but you know, Justin, what are your 2 cents in a tin can on this army?
Well, with any army we've seen come through Age of Sigmar, they've all had a cosmetic upgrade. I mean, everything has had a cosmetic upgrade in some way or form. Lumineth Realm Lords coming from the High Elf basis, there's nothing different there. You're still looking at the standard City Guard with the spears. You're looking at the City Guard with the bows. You know, you got your medium cavalry in the new system there.
Right.
What we don't know is bolt throwers. We don't know ranged attack. We don't know the spells. We don't know any of the things that the High Elves would have.
Right,
that they've translated over, and until we have that piece of the information, I think there's going to be a divide.
Yeah, yeah, and I think there's a lot to what you just said. I think you're absolutely right, but it'll be interesting to see what keeps kind of what's coming down the pike on this. But anyway, the second of the two factions, the other faction that is now out but didn't get revealed at Adepticon that we're going to be talking about pretty extensively later on here in the show is the Seraphon. I think their terrain piece and the book are fairly well received, although our guest, I'm not going to spoil it, our guest is going to test me on that theory here a little bit. It'll be interesting to have that conversation. And we've also been seeing, here it is, Steve, the name Sons of Behemoth dropped from time to time again, and whether in a shipping manifest or being referenced in a GW teaser video, there's definitely something up with this name.
And well, yeah, they're in country. I mean, the book, the War Scroll cards are in this country, so
yeah.
That's I'm assuming that's going to be the May release, and it's mm-hmm. probably going to come after the Lumineth.
Okay. All right.
Or at the same time.
But I think Lumineth is going to be one of the biggest releases they do this year.
It seems that way.
Yeah, I think that's without a doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin, what were you going to say?
I said, or they're going to drop at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
That could happen too.
They could. And it's funny. You know what? I want to go back on this because I find this army really interesting. And I know the game is kind of going that way, right? Big Behemoth monsters, his battle line. You know, we saw it first with the Beastclaw Raiders or the Ogre Maw tribes. And then we saw it again most recently with the talk of what the Seraphon are going to be doing. And we're going to be talking about that, I'm sure, a little bit here later on. But now here it is, an army of giants. And what I think is really great about this, why I think this army is probably going to be a little bit more special than I think people are giving it credit for, than just a big bunch of lumbering rum-dums with boulders in their hands, is that Behemoth was an ancient creature that was the father of all giants, or Gargants, I guess, as they're called now in Age of Sigmar. And maybe we'll see an all-Gargant faction. I still think they're going to have some, you know, maybe the rumors of Femurs or somebody else like that that's going to be kind of like their blocking force, their little troops, I guess. You know, I'm curious as to how this thing's going to be rolled out. I was kind of in hopes we're going to get something great at Adepticon, but hey, you know, that's life. We didn't get the potential reveal at Adepticon, so we're going to have to live with more speculation. But when do you guys think this army is going to drop? What are your thoughts?
May.
Probably May.
Definitely May.
Okay.
Maybe late May, but May. Yeah.
It's going to be the pre-summer release.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's going to be exciting. And I agree with you, Steve. I hope that they don't look like your Uncle Lester here. You know,
if they do, I mean, no one's going to buy them. It's going to be a dead army on the day it drops. And that would be a tragedy.
Yeah, I mean, Justin, what are your thoughts on the giant sculpt, the current giant model?
I have a mixed bag on that one. I mean, there's so much you can do with that model in terms of just manipulating him to look better.
Right.
But because there's just so much open surface to do it. But yeah, that model is dated and it definitely needs an update.
Yeah. I think 7th edition Fantasy Battles, right?
6th edition.
6th. Yeah. I think it was end of 6th.
Yeah.
End of 6th, early 7th.
It was one of one of the first giant plastic models that was put in place, their metal model that was out.
Gotcha. Yep. All right. Well, moving on in the news, another casualty of the coronavirus, Brew City Brawl has been canceled due to the COVID-19 onslaught. In a statement from Brew City, it was canceled Tuesday of this week, and no additional information or dates have been revealed as to the tournament being rescheduled. And I hope, it was a good thing for the community. A lot of people really look forward to it. I hope they figure it out, and if they come back in later in 2020 or maybe 2021, it might be a good one to try to attend. So,
well, it's not even anything they have any control over, too. It's right. Literally the government saying, you cannot have groups of people more than this size, and it's just another casualty of this damn virus.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's That's pretty much
it sucks. Yeah,
it does. It really does. And I think that, I think there was a lot of hard work goes into these, how do I want to put it? These tournaments, and I think that, people don't take that. People take that for granted.
The TOs too, because the TOs have to go and refund all the money and go through all that BS, trying to get everybody refunded. And, if you had a hotel room, you're dealing with that nonsense. It's just a general pain in the ass.
Right. Yeah.
And it's unfortunate.
It is. But I can tell you this, one tournament that is not been canceled is Armed Forces Day. This one is still a go, knock on wood. And this is going to be our third year for this 100% charity event to support our active duty troops. Armed Forces Day tournament is going to be held May 16th and 17th. And you can head over to grimdarklive.com or check out the information to check out the information on this tournament. Armed Forces Day 2020 is going to be a two-day event, Age of Sigmar event, where each player can bring up to 2,000 points of an army comprised from the most recent General's Handbook and AOS rule set. This event is going to be a 1v1, five-game, two-day tournament to provide donations to our active duty troops while celebrating Armed Forces Day, a national holiday to honor those active duty troops. We're also going to be supporting the Montford Point Marine Association Chapter 2. This is going to be a separate raffle to support the historic Southside Chicago Montford Point Marine Chapter. After a half a century of being home to those first African-American Marines who settled in Chicago after the war in 1946, the chapter faces some looming debt with the potential for closure. And, of course, Armed Forces Day 3 wouldn't be possible without the supports of GameStorm Gaming, Frag Factory 3D Printing, Ministomp.com, and most recently, Six Squared Studios. They're going to be back with us this year. They're going to be supplying some swag and some prize support, as they did last year for Armed Forces Day 2. So we're very happy to have brought Six Squared Studios aboard that are going to be participating again for Armed Forces Day 3. So good
stuff.
Well,
honestly, who doesn't want to support the troops? I mean, it's a great cause.
Yeah, well... Yeah, it is. And you know what? I mean, you guys getting your armies together?
What do you think I've been painting all day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a choice between the Hollow Heart or the Greywater Fastness at this point.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that, Justin. I know you're knocking on that door, buddy, but we got to get to the Seraphon first.
Oh, no. I know that. I know. Trust me.
So, all right. Well, good deal. Hey gang, I wanted to take a break in today's show to introduce one of our sponsors and a great store for all of your hobby needs. That's GameStorm Gaming in Lamont, Illinois. Open 7 days a week, 12 to 12.
GameStorm Gaming has got you covered for all of your hobby and gaming needs. They got Magic the Gathering, War Machine, X-Wing, Game of Thrones, Force of Will card game, PC gaming and repair, Warhammer 40K, and Age of Sigmar, and a ton more. Grab paints, brushes, cases, dice, and a lot more at GameStorm Gaming in Lamont, Illinois.
Stop in and see John and the gang there at GameStorm Gaming, located at 1243 State Street, Lamont, Illinois, or check them out on their website at GameStormGaming.com. Again, that's www.GameStormGaming.com.
They also stay open past midnight for special cases and events. So get over there and get your nerd on with GameStorm Gaming, 1243 State Street, Lamont, Illinois, 630-243-9330. Again, that's GameStorm Gaming, 1243 State Street, Lamont, Illinois.
GameStorm Gaming is a proud sponsor of Grimdark Live. We hope to see you there. So without further ado, what do you say, man? Let's start off with the Seraphon. I think that's probably the best place to start. So our guest tonight, I guess the best way to put it, is, on Grimdark Live, for anyone just rejoining us, is he does know something a little bit about the Seraphon. He's here to give us his 2 cents in a tin can on this newly released army. And folks, you will find that our opinions here on Grimdark Live are not necessarily in the tank for anyone, including GW. You will always, as you always have on the show, you're going to get both positive and negative views and comments, and in some cases, opposing discussion points. But it's our honest thought on the topics. So strap yourselves in, man. Here we go. So Justin, thanks again for being on the show tonight. And after we talk about Seraphon, you're going to be able to hang out for a little bit longer and talk about some Cities of Sigmar, yeah?
Oh, yeah. And I appreciate for you guys having me on. So.
Yeah. Oh, of course, man. Of course. You're a goon, man. You're a grimdark goon. So here we go. So folks, if you wanted to, Grimdark Live has already covered, to an extent, the Seraphon back on our show from March 5th. So for more on what we introduced, please check out that show from March 5th, just a couple of weeks ago. Now, Justin, let's get into the lizards here. And please, all right, let me set up your comments on this army, because Seraphon consistently performed quite well in the tournament scene prior to this release. But, you know, the lack of a dedicated tome became more glaring as many armies were getting their second tomes to bring them up to date with Age of Sigmar 2.0 rule set. And finally,
They were being outpaced.
Yeah. And finally,
really quick.
Right. That's all changed. That I don't think is happening anymore. And GW has blessed us with a new book and a terrain piece. And Justin, are the lizards, are they a good army now? I mean, let's hear what you have to say about that.
With what I've looked at and the amount of time I've spent combing through this book, and it's been a fairly extensive comb through because there's a ungodly amount of abilities and allegiance abilities and things that all feed with each other. I have to put them at the middle of the road, like a 5 out of 10 army.
Wow.
My personal opinion, they're a 5 out of 10 army.
Why? Okay, we are going to have a heck of a conversation then. All right, let's. I mean, Steve, he did say 5 out of 10, didn't he?
Well, you know, no one knows these guys better than him, so at least not in our group. So, tell us what you think.
All right.
Okay.
Back it up.
Okay. Let's start with the big changes. What are some of the big changes that you think that they really haven't progressed from I guess the GHB 19? So let's hear what that is.
The nerfs to the way that you build your army, the choice wise. So they all start with the general ways of the Seraphon. That's their bread and butter. That's their primary everything. And then you have to choose to go into a Starborn or a Coalesced. You make that choice, that gives you a whole nother set of abilities and options. And then when you're in those, you have the abilities to choose either two factions for the Starborn, two factions for the Coalesced, and each of those give you a huge set of abilities that change the way your army's built. So from square one to, you know, square one to square three, you're making 1,000 choices and you stumble in one of those choices and your army is going to just get destroyed.
So you think that there's too many buttons to push to get this army successful?
Yes.
Okay.
It's too many rules that feed into each other.
What about the Stegodon list, the one that everyone's raving about?
Okay, so to get to the Stegodon list, you go through the Way of the Seraphon, which has all of its abilities, and you have to be a coalesced army.
Okay.
Once you've chosen the coalesced, you have to key tag yourself as Thunder Lizard. That gives you the ability to take Stegodons as battle line. Now, mind you, you've chosen coalesced. You've now lost the ability to summon anything.
Oh, wow.
You are no longer a summoning list at all. You are a...
No way around it?
No, there's no way around it. You are on the ground pounding, and everything is at the will of what's on the board.
Wow, that's interesting.
Okay, so once you've done that, let me just read you something in here.
Sure.
So, basically, what the Thunder Lizard basic abilities go into once you go there is all Thunder Lizard monsters, which is what Stegodons and Crocs, all those things pick up. They get 2 wounds added to their characteristics, so they go from 12 wound to 14 wound. Pretty big, impressive jump. So. Pretty decent. It changes the scale on them, you know, so that when they degrade,
sure,
they get the ability to activate or fire their weapons twice, so long as they're within what I think it says here is totally within 18 inches of a hero from the faction. So the prime example they used there was the Vestilodon firing the laser cannon fires twice.
Right. Yeah. We talked about that last week as well.
And then, you know, adding 1 to the characteristics of the general's mount. So whoever your general is, he gets 1 attack, and then they can basically pick up they can take an enemy unit and do whatever they're going to do, mortal wounds, stuff like that. This is the army. If you're trying to get into lizards, this is the army you build for low model count, but you're not going to be able to hold objectives with it. Because there's no buffs to this army for the Saurus, the skinks, or anything else. It's only the large monsters.
Do the Stegodons have the similar rule where they count as like 10?
Well, they're going like that way. They've been going that way with all of the large beasts anyway. So most of them are starting to have that ability where they count as 10 models.
But is that a rule in the book now?
It is not.
Yeah, I didn't see it in the book either. But let's take a step back here, because I think before we kind of spearhead too deep into it, here's the big changes to the army that I see. Mm-hmm. And there's 4 that come to mind. So the Skinks lost Wary Fighter, and they got cheaper. That's 1. 2,
yes.
Sauruses, I don't know if this is a change, but Sauruses may be back in a big way between the buffs on their War Scroll and some of the added synergies given to them in, I guess, the new and improved Battle Tome that we're going to be talking about here. But, okay, so that, maybe that's not a change. The other one I think would be, in general, as you said earlier, I do agree with you that summoning did get harder, but I would say the quality of the units got better. I don't know if that is a big offset.
I would have to disagree with you on that as well.
Okay. All right.
And I'm going to be positive here as best as I can. And I'm going to play the army, and I will find a niche in it in some way or at some point. But let's just take the Saurus Warrior as example.
Okay.
In a unit of 15 or more, they do pick up an ability from the extra attack, which is amazing because their primary weapon you'd be using, like the Celestial Club, which is hitting on 4s, wounding on 3s with a rend 1. Now you're shooting it at twice.
Okay. But all right.
Here's the kick with it, though. If you are Starborn, your powerful jaw attack is 1. If you're Coalesced, your powerful jaw attack is 2. So you have 3 attacks as Starborn, 4 attacks as Coalesced.
Sure.
So, but the rub on them, and what's kind of making me think Saurus are kind of, they're still only 1 wound. They're a 4+ armor, and they no longer have the ability with their shields to negate rend.
Yeah, well, the one thing so, I did see about this army, though, that I liked are the command points. And I'm a command point junkie, and it looks like you can be drowning in these babies here with this army.
Yes, there is a metric ton of ways to generate command points, and some of the factions actually generate them faster.
Okay. And we're going to get into that. And I know, Steve, that you wanted to jump in and ask some stuff, but let me just kind of get this out of the way here first, a little housekeeping here. As far as the War Scrolls folks are concerned, as we talk about this army, as you all know here on Grimdark Live, we don't go too deep into the War Scrolls. I mean, they're available publicly. You can check them out yourself on the GW app or the Azir app. You can buy the book. But But are there any, Justin, that stand out to you, or even anything that you've heard, Steve? Is there anything that stand out to you, Justin? Any real good or not so good changes other than what you just brought up with the Source Warriors?
I'm interested in the battalions. Are there any good battalions that where you can make a decent army?
This is funny. I got some. Yeah, go ahead, Justin.
Well, I was going to say the battalions are literally the same on both sides. It's faced by the faction side you eventually take with Starborn Coalesce.
Right.
And they're the exact same both sides, they're the exact same unit types, everything of that matter. Their abilities change based upon which side you go.
Yeah, so what he's saying is like the format of the battalions, and Justin, you'll probably be able to say this better than myself because I mean I'm a lot newer to the book. I think you've had it for a couple of days, but the format of the battalions here is interesting. There's four battalions for each allegiance, like Justin was saying, but they share the same name, save for the Coalesced having the Temple Host and the Starborn having the Star Hosts. Okay.
Yeah, the Eternal Star Host.
Right.
So of all of these factions, Justin, which one, if you were going to, drop a dime on a particular faction, which one would you select?
See, I'm almost thinking going Starbound.
Because the old school Seraphine.
Because of the ability to summon, but also the ability to have a solid rock core. And I have to kind of give it to the Draconoth's tail list.
And what do they do?
So they have, it's kind of hard to say. They get extra spells from the lore,
okay,
which benefits the Slan who's sacrificing all of his spells basically to get a celestial point. So this is still going to give him an additional spell on top of all that. And then their pendant and things like that is when the bear dies, on a 1-3, he's slain, but on a 4-6, he just stands back up full wounds.
Yeah. And there's something else pretty interesting here, Steve, on this one. There's actually, we're kind of bouncing around here a little bit, but there's allegiance, there's sub-factions, and each allegiance gets to choose from two sub-factions folks we're talking about here for a total of four. There's the Starborn that we've talked about, and what Justin's referring to is the Starborn gets access to the Fangs of Sotek and the
Draconoth's Tail.
Dracothonian's Tail. Boy, I couldn't spit that out for nothing. Both are battalions from also the General's Handbook. That's what Justin was saying before, Steve. But they have changed them. Yeah. The Dracothian's Tail allows you to place. Here's what I love about it because I'm a Beastman player. It allows you to place units in Deep Strike. For each Starborn unit that you place on the battlefield, a Starborn unit can be placed in reserves to be brought up on the board at the end of your movement phase within, I think it's 18 inches of a Slan and more than 9 inches from an enemy unit.
So it's more than 9 inches from an enemy, 18 inches wholly within 18 of a friendly Draconian tail Slan.
And since we're on the topic, sticking with the sub factions here, with the Starborn, the Fangs of Sotek, that's really your skink sub faction. They also let you move your skinks faster on the first turn, and the command ability I think allows them to shoot at the end of your opponent's charge phase and then potentially run.
It's called parting shot.
Yeah, but so my whole point is I do agree with you on that, Justin. I do think that the Dracothian's Tail is going to be more popular as far as the Starborn subfaction.
And don't get me wrong, the things of Sotek have.
What's interesting about all of this is that we would have seen a lot of people at Adepticon figuring this out. In other words, this would have been what people would have been doing. So that's really a tragedy that we've lost this opportunity to be able to see how this army will function in the broad sense of the community.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that too, but I still think that's around the corner. I think that what's going to happen is probably a lot like player gamers like Justin. I think they're going to have now the time. They're not going to have to bum rush it to get ready for a major GT. They're going to have the time to actually put together a pretty killer list, and I think it's in there. Honestly, Justin, I know that, and I respect your opinion.
I can't see it. Well, I think it's here. I just can't see it yet.
Well, then I'm going to steal a page out of Steve's playbook here. Let's start with the command traits. That's kind of the heartbeat of an army, right? So let's talk about that. I mean, the Slan, the Sauruses and the Skinks each get their own tables to pick command traits from. And the Saurus and the Slan can gain an extra command point per turn on a 4+ with the right trait, I guess, whereas the Skinks can get +1 to cast or +1 to saves or movement. Now, that can put a pretty good rhythm to an army, I would think.
Well, that in pairing with the things of Sotek, you actually can generate command points on 3+.
Okay, well then touche to that one. I mean, but that's also a command point, right? Or a command trait.
No, it's a command trait. Yeah.
Right. That's what I meant to say. I mean, Steve, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm thinking of this army in I guess in another way. Can this army, in your opinion, be a jack of all trades? Can it be a combat? Can it be like an old classic Lizardmen army where it has where it has its fighting, it has its shooting, and it has its magic all working in tandem?
Yes, you just take a Coalescence or a Starlord, Starbound, and you don't take a subfaction. You just feed off the abilities of those and don't go subfaction.
Because I think that's, I guess, and I don't know if I'm just going off in a completely different direction. I probably am, but that's what I'm thinking about this army as, because that's where I think you're going to find the secret sauce for this army. I think you're going to find that when you use a lot of these units in tandem with one another, that's where you're going to find that magic formula. I don't think that the Stegodon list is going to be the killer that everyone thinks it's going to be. I just don't.
No, because of the attack characteristics of the Stegodon really haven't changed much from their prior. So you're still hitting on fours and fives, depending on what the weapon is. And then you might be wounding on threes, depending on the weapon, but you don't have the allotment of attacks.
Yeah. You put that Stegodon up against a Daughter of Cain Blood Sister unit, and it will be gone.
It's gone.
Within 2 seconds, that thing's going to be gone.
Yeah, I mean, the Mortal Wound characteristic off of the Daughters of Cain will rip through it.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's like the Scath Touch alone from the Blood Sisters is going to knock that thing down to like 3-4 wounds.
And that's another problem I'm seeing with the Seraphon is they don't have a whole lot of Mortal Wound mitigation.
Well, do they have any ward saves of any kind?
And let me kind of go back here. Let me kind of go back here a little bit, because I think we got to rear back, because I think they do. We talked about it. We brought it up on they have scaly skin. That's back.
But do they have ward saves?
No.
Well, they don't have a ward save. No.
No.
But let's go back here a little bit, because you know, Justin, you made a comment right at the beginning of this topic here about the two different allegiances, and I have a different opinion than you. I think the Starborn is a good choice. It's the older way to play Seraphon, right, Lizardmen. But
yeah, I would agree with you on that.
And for folks who don't know much about the Seraphon, there's two allegiances: the Coalesced and the New Lore, which the Starborn. The Coalesced is the New Lore, and the Starborn is the Old Lore. And
right,
I like the two allegiances. I mean, GW clearly wanted to try something very different here, and they did, in my opinion, with the Coalesced. And here's going to be my little bit of hugging on the Coalesced here for a little bit. The Coalesced factions, to me, are probably the ones that are going to be getting a lot of attention. I mean, Quaddle's Claw gives probably the best faction bonus of the bunch with +1 to hit for all of the Saurus keywords units on the charge with a command ability to gain the hit bonus as if you had just charged. So in case your guys are and that's good in case your guys are already stuck in combat. Now, to state it, you know, one way, because it's more familiar, Justin, and I think this is where you're going with it. The Starborn is really here for those of you who love the old faction. The faction abilities are more or less, and I don't want to sound like I'm being unfair here, but they're a mirror of how the Seraphon played as of the General's Handbook 2019. The Seraphon under the Starborn get their bravery back to 10, which is huge.
They'll be pretty much unbreakable at that point.
But not the demon keyword, obviously. So they won't get smitten by Stormcast. The once a turn teleportation ability remains untouched, which I think is huge. But I mean, what are your thoughts on what I just kind of said there?
No. I definitely agree with you. The Coalesce is probably going to be the more popular just because large scale units coming at you with massive amounts of biting attacks, massive amount of clubs and spears and things of that can be extremely fast. What I think the Coalesce, you're going to see a lot of Coalesce units coming across are going to be more knight units, more mounted than actual source, though.
Do you think they're going to get a new knight unit or knight model?
I don't think so, but I think they're, you know what I mean? Their source cavalry is in large quantities because they're cheaper and their battle line is, you're going to see them just coming across the table like crazy. And they'll be into you turn one if they're played right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Steve, what are your thoughts?
I have been thinking about those Saurus Knights and Saurus in general. Is there any improvement for Saurus in this new book?
Yeah, you know what? It depends on the faction, and it depends on the leaders and things that are around them.
Old bloods give them any kind of like a benefit or something?
Well, so they added, I want to say, at least 6 heroes to this book. They split heroes out of units and they put them as individuals. The nice thing about the old blood is they have an ability to pick a unit within 18 and it adds a +1 to their hit rolls just for them standing there being a benefit of command.
That's
your old blood. You know, you have the Saurus Sun Blood that has the ability to add they pick an enemy unit and it adds a wound roll to them. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot of what the characters are around them, but most of their keywords and phrasings are wholly within. So those heroes are going to be right there in the action, in the thick, and have to be. And if they get targeted out, your unit's going to call. I just see the unit's going to collapse if these heroes get taken out.
And, you know, and that goes back to kind of, I think, what Steve was hedging on with what you said too, Justin, is the one wound, no ward save.
Yeah. And the fact that they're susceptible to rend again. So, even with the decent.
And that was one of their best armor, defenses.
Right. Because you had a 4+ armor and you had a ward save that was up to 2. So, or you had up to a -2 rend reduction. So it's like now you're pushing them to a 3+ save because of their shield, but you get hit with, you know, your trolls.
Yeah.
Get a -2 to it. Now you're at a 5.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I did the math on it a little bit, and a 40-man unit gets hit by a unit of trolls, and half the unit's gone.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Right.
And if they're not fast enough to strike first and do the damage needed to take these trolls down, you're going to be breaking that unit out pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, and God help them if they get against something, you know, that's better than trolls, something like a Blood Sister unit or something like, you know, a Plague. How do you think they would do against, like, Blight Kings?
You know what? I don't know. I guess it's going to depend on the combination of heroes around them and the spells that you have up for the buffs and things of them on them at the time. I can see these guys being more of sit on an objective and hold it to the last man.
And that's how many can they have in a unit max?
40 men units. And it's only 300. It's only 320 points.
Wow. Yeah. That's good. That's great.
Yeah. That
is definitely their saving grace, is because their point reduction literally made the units like, okay, here's a 40-man block for 320 that I can put, say, an Emerald Life Swarm behind it, which is now bound to me, and it keeps raising lizards back. That's their saving grace.
Yeah.
Wow, that's nice.
So let's kind of peel the onion layer back here a little bit. What are your thoughts on some of the artifacts?
Depends. I mean, So since you can choose realms and you can pull from pretty much anywhere, they have access to, you know, the entire book, but the artifacts they have, they're pretty deadly. I mean, a lot of them cause mortal wounds. A lot of them cause just adding attacks or just making them faster.
Yeah.
It seems that's what most of these artifacts are designed for, is just to get them in there to hit a little bit harder, a little bit faster, you know. Here's an extra attack here. Here's an extra bite here. I mean, one of the artifacts that stood out to me is actually the faction artifact from the Fangs of Sotek. And it's okay. the It's the Serpent of the Gold, the Serpent Gold Dagger.
Okay.
Now this dagger in the right hands causes damage, and any unsaved wound inflicted against the bearer, you get to roll a dice against that bearer. You roll a 5+, it slays them outright.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, it's funny. I asked you that because you and I are either really coming together and agreeing on this army, or we're pretty opposite. And my overall thought when I was kind of reading through on the artifacts is that the Sauruses have some pretty lousy choices. Though I will say that the Blade of Realities has some use. I mean, it does improve the rend of the weapon by one and plus mm-hmm. one damage for the weapon against heroes, which, you know, is of particular interest to Scar veterans and Carnosaurs that have six attacks on their profile now.
Right.
But Skinks get three artifacts, one of which buffs their save by one and their damage output, whereas another buffs their movement and grants them -1 to hit. But overall, I was kind of blah with the artifacts. Yeah. I thought overall.
I mean, they're like I said, they're predominantly designed as buffers and enhancers more than anything like defensive or that would give them the advantage in a certain situation. I mean, a lot of them seem situational. They just really do.
You know
what's interesting about this army is that we haven't heard any great amount of buzz on it. Like, people are saying they like it, but we haven't had a buzz on this army like we had with, like, let's say, Fire Slayers or Cities, where people said, you know, like, holy God almighty, you know, these Hearthguard are ungodly, or these Blood Sisters are ungodly, or these, you know, tank divisions are going to be, you know, wreaking havoc on tables. We haven't heard that with this book.
Well, part of the reason I think we haven't seen that or heard that is because we didn't get anything new.
Yeah. There's no
new lizard. There's no new giant dinosaur. There's no new.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake. Anything.
They had an opportunity here to capitalize on bringing in something big, something, you know, something that would have made this army have a huge central piece, you know, because they're doing all these diorama models and everything like that, and they missed it.
Well, you know
what I mean? They could have brought Mazda-Mundi in as a diorama piece. And made him a ultimate, you know, slan caster that has the ability just to summon a unit for turn one. You know, that would have been like, hey, wow, whoa, let's go. You know,
what are the giant thunder lizards called? The ones that Randy has,
the big
lizards, the Forge World ones.
I, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of that thing, but I'll let you know.
The Dread Saurians.
Yeah,
it's actually not in the list anymore.
Yeah, I heard that. It's not. Yeah, here it is. It's not in there.
And you can't even summon it anymore.
Wow. Now, Randy said that thing is up to 35 wounds or something, that they changed it.
It does have the Forge World
profile, right?
Profile. And I don't know if the Forge World profile includes a summoning cost, but as of right now, there would be, if it's higher than 30, there's no way you're going to get it in a 5-turn game.
Yeah, I think he said it's a 35. It has four up armor save and 35 wounds.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's basically your Godzilla for the army.
You're either going to take the piece, write it in your points straight on the thing, and start it on the field because you would never be able to summon it.
Yeah,
it just seems to me that if this army had some kind of secret sauce, that somebody would have found it already.
I think I can have
people online talking about this thing and saying, you know, oh, we've got this, or, you know, do this or do that. We don't have that for this army. And that really surprises me because Lizardmen won Adepticon last year.
Right.
I mean, these Seraphon won Adepticon. So there's got to be something good in that older book, or they would not have won.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of these profile changes are amazing. I mean, the Croxer got a decent amount of love in this book. It actually did with its weapons abilities. So some of the weapons they can carry made them a little bit stronger.
But we just haven't heard it yet.
We just
haven't heard anyone come out yet.
Well, we have heard a lot about their universal traits, and I do want to get into that. I mean, and I think this might change. It changed my opinion a little bit, Steve, when I kind of read into it a little bit more, and I think it might you a little bit. I mean, I'm not all negative on the army. I'm trying to call it as honestly as I can.
Oh, I'm not negative or positive. I just haven't heard anything.
Right. I didn't mean to come out that way. Like, but there,
community
there are,
wise,
there are two. You're right. There's very little talk on this army in the community. But as far as the traits are concerned, there are two universal traits. And the one that we talked about a couple of weeks ago that kind of stopped us all cold was the ability for the Slann to swap a spell each turn has remained. Now, with a rule now found in, I think it's called the Ways of the Seraphon, which... Yes. Contemplations of the Ancient Ones, I think is what it's called. Secondly, yep. I'm going through my book here, and now army-wide, instead of locked into a specific unit, each turn the Seraphon player can choose a constellation each turn with, I think it's called the Sacred Asterisms, where yep. you can either give one hero plus one attack, a wizard plus one to cast, dispel, or unbind, or army-wide, plus one to charge or advance. And this kind of feeds back into why I'm kind of leaning on the coalesce a little bit. But I mean, those universal traits, I think, are what's going to bind this army together. And they may not have one great thing like a ward save or something like that. But I think, like Justin was saying a little bit, I think the secret ability to tie this together is going to be in those universal traits. And in my opinion, specifically with the coalesce. Because they really have... a number of traits. And granted, they're kind of all over the place, but they come together. I guess you could say coalesce.
Again, they work well depending on the faction way you go. You're going to end up using one of them the entire game, depending right. on your faction. You're right. not going to be switching them too much.
Yeah, but I like that the coalesce gets a bonus attack on bites. Right. I mean, that didn't work out very well with the ogres, so I guess I like it, but let's hopefully see how well this does. But they get that bonus attack, and if you use the optional special terrain rule, you can get to ignore negative terrain in your territory, while I think only you can benefit from the positives, I believe.
You only benefit from the positives of it. You're not affected by the negative effects of certain terrains. Some of them you still are. It does have a range cap on it and things of that manner. But it's okay. It's not the best. It's a great looking piece of terrain. Don't get me wrong. Right. It's an amazing looking piece of terrain.
Right.
The ability of the terrain is kind of subpar. It in a way it takes the Deepkin ship ability.
Oh yeah, right.
And let you pawn it off somewhere else in the world. So long as it's within 18 inches, it's effective. If it's outside of that, you're kind of 50-50.
Yeah, and we said before on the show, Steve, you remember, you actually coined this phrase that Seraphon players are a lot like the Zeech players. You know, as far as they're very meticulous players, and I think all these little things that you can do are going to tie together. And one thing that comes to mind, sticking with the coalesce, is the standout for this is probably the fact that all coalesce get to reduce all damage taken by one to a minimum of one. While it won't, I guess it's not going to help you against, you know, D1 attacks. The plethora of D2 and D3 attacks, you know, in Age of Sigmar mean that this is going to pay out in dividends for this army. So I think there's some offsets there to some of the things that they don't have. I mean, notably, the current meta darlings, like say the Hearthguard Berserkers with broad axes and I guess the Orc War Chanters are going to get neutered when facing this army a little bit. So I think that's a positive.
I think you're going to see a more effective use of that ability if they're going up against armies where the damage characteristic is say two or maybe three versus a die.
Yeah.
You know, day three, D6 or something like that, because you have a die six damage and they roll a six, you're still taking five damage.
Right.
You know, you have two damage and you take this, you're taking one. So the saving grace is reverse weapons that are more of a solid damage than a random damage.
Okay. All right. I mean, Steve, what are your thoughts on kind of some of the stuff you've heard?
I think if I was going to go with this army, I would probably go with the more traditional Lizardmen army, the Seraphon. I got to stop saying Lizardmen. I think I would go with the more traditional Lizard or the Seraphon list. I would not. I wouldn't try to play like the game of with the Stegodons or to try to make something that I didn't feel confident in putting on that table as a Warhammer player. In other words, I'm not going to get into one of these trick pony armies. I think I would go with the more traditional list.
So you would probably stick with the Starborn.
I would think so. I would think that's the way I would go. I think big ranked up units of Saurus Warriors would probably be the way I would go.
I would probably say you, if you were going to do that, Steve, you should go Coalesced and do Kortul's Claw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because just because of the simple fact that your Savagery Incarnate going through everything, whether it's a plus one to hit, and then you have the command ability of Controlled Fury, which allows you to reactivate that ability on one unit. So now you're a plus two to hit.
See, this is an army that I would never play. I guarantee you I will not play this army, but I can't wait to play against it. And
you'll see it on the table eventually. I'm getting there.
Yeah, I want to see what this army can do, and I want to see what both versions of this army do.
Yeah.
Coalesced and these, what are they called? Starborn, they're called?
Yeah. The Starborn, yeah. Starborn, yeah.
And truthfully, that's the only way I'm going to be determined which faction is, you know, worth its beans, so to speak. It's just because you got to play both sides. If you don't play both sides of the coin, you're not going to know.
Yeah, you're not going to find
where the ins and outs formula. Are.
Yeah.
It's just looking at the book and trying to, you know, piece it together through an army builder or something like that and finding the ins and outs. Now, it doesn't work that way.
That's what I was saying earlier. Like, there were some armies that the GWs released where the minute we got our hands on, like Zinch, the minute I got my hands on that book, I saw this is a shooting army.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, no, it's a magic army. No, it's not. It's a shooting army supported by magic. And well, then and that Noah magic built
pretty,
the list.
It's pretty nasty.
Well, and then Noah built the list, and then we saw what happened.
Right.
He's just been shooting every single person off the table. So that's what I'm saying about this book. It really is amazing to me that we did not hear that shooty list or that, you know, vicious Blood Sisters list or that vicious Hearthguard list come out already, tends to make me believe that there's still people in the community, you know, all the Seraphon players are still trying to find out what's going to be the magic formula for this army.
Well, the problem I see with going that route is you have the route, the option ability to do it. The issue is where the armies sit on what side of the coin.
Yeah.
I mean, the Coalesced are your giant thunder lizard dinosaur, you know, dinosaur train stuff coming your way.
Yeah.
Or the large block Saurus, you know, hey, we're just going to swarm you horde of Saurus. You want the shooting list, you have to go Starborn because that's where all the skinks are. That's where their list is. So you want shooty skinks, you're going Starborn. You want heavy magic, you're going Starborn. There's no in between on these armies.
Yeah, and I'd like to touch on the magic here. I mean, guys, it's kind of one thing we haven't, ironically enough, for an army that's always been known for their magic. I don't know that we did it quite a good justice on the show tonight, but I mean, Seraphon casters
are unparalleled.
Yeah, but they also come with a new mechanic, which is bound endless spells.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, if you think about this here, guys, this takes away the old rule for the endless spells that now both players do not control them. I mean, Seraphon, they grasp the magic of that endless spell, and they can take it away from their opponent. So, I mean, let's boil this
down.
So
they're moving purple suns every turn.
Yeah. So let's boil this down to interplay with the new bound endless spell mechanic. Some of the new spells allow skinks to bind endless spells already in play with the aptly named bind endless spell, turning your opponent's spells against them.
Hilarious.
Slan can dispel all endless spells within 24-inch radius with a drain magic, but leave bound ones untouched.
Yep.
So this really helps Seraphon double down on the endless spell mechanic. And to boot, to add insult to injury of how powerful magically this army is going to be, the spells were expanded from 6 in the General's Handbook 2019 to 12 in this book.
They're broken into two. They're broken into slan-based spells and skink-based spells.
Yeah, and Seraphon.
Yeah, like goblins and orcs.
Yeah, and Seraphon can change spells round to round. So they don't know just one spell now for the game. They can change them.
Plus, and how many spells can they cast a turn?
Depends on the level of caster, but the slan mages, I believe, can cast 6.
Yeah.
Did you just say the Slan mages can cast 6 spells
per turn? I believe so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Holy God, we're talking.
Let's see, but so the Slanstar piece is 3, but if he's in the certain faction, he's a +1 to cast. So that's 4. Lord Croak is 4 with the certain faction. He's 5.
Are you saying +5 to cast, or
no? He's casting 5 spells.
Yeah,
cast 5 spells. That's nuts.
Yeah, and again, to kind of give you a little more of a titty twister on this army with an artifact, and I just had the artifact in my book here, and I lost it now. But with an artifact, Slan have access to a single auto unbind or an auto dispel artifact. I can't remember which one that was.
Yeah,
a one shot wonder or once per turn.
It is. I think it's a one shot wonder.
So they basically get a Thanos snap.
Exactly. Nice. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot to digest here with this army. I mean, Justin, what are kind of your closing thoughts on the army itself?
I mean, the army's there. It is there. The reason I put it at a 5 to 10 at the very beginning is because there's not enough evidence yet to put it higher. It could go either way.
It
hasn't been play tested enough by a myriad of people to catch the, okay, this is going to work. You know, I'm waiting to see what the meta hunters do with it.
Okay.
I mean, and once I get more data from the meta hunters and I play test it myself, I probably will increase that rating. But right now I'm looking at a solid 5 to 10.
Okay. All right.
Interesting.
Steve, what are your closing thoughts on the Seraphon here?
I wish I had the book, just to look at it. But, from what I'm hearing, this army obviously is going to have its strengths and magic, but we'll have to see. I want to see the army play tested. What's really unfortunate, you know, besides the obvious with this coronavirus is that, you know, a lot of our, hobby member community, you know, community members aren't out there practicing, playing these games, you know, testing this army out. I mean, I know that's all stuff that can be done at home or in small groups or, you know, can come just later, priorities. But I think that once we get down the road a little bit here and people start, you know, going back to their lives, this someone is going to find something in this book. I think it'll end up being a solid 8 once we get the community going again.
Yeah, I kind of had it as a 3-2 to 4-1 army, and leaning more towards 4-1 at major duties.
Yeah, I would agree, just based upon what I've heard.
Yeah, and folks,
I agree with you there. It probably is sitting around there. I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, well, you know, that's a very good way to look at it. I mean, you know, I'm Steve and I might be running forward like a couple of idiots, but I mean, you might actually have a better appraisal of what the book is. But let me say this before we move on to our next topic, and we got another great topic coming up. You know, folks, telling you whether or not you should get a battle tome or an army is often challenging. And I know that a lot of times Grimdark Live, we like to really just kind of put it out there because we're a community-based show. And the question of whether an army book is good or not is also difficult. You know, competitive, and I'm doing the electronic finger quotes here, competitive armies are a fickle thing. We've talked about it all the time, especially Steve. You know, metas are often determined by the work of many people working together to squeeze the most out of a particular book. And I hope Grimdark Live has offered enough of our insight with our awesome guest insights and opinions for you to formulate your own thoughts. And what I can say is how fun this army does look to me personally, outside of the competitive side of it. I think
gorgeous army.
Yeah, I think the book does look powerful. The Seraphon have the benefit of access to a very wide range of units, thanks to their legacy from Warhammer Fantasy Battles, and many are powerful in their own right. And you know what? You can have an all dinosaur list. I mean, that doesn't suck. But like I said, you know, we try to call it the way we see it. We talked about the great magic and we talked about some of the artifacts that were kind of clunky. But, you know, I hope at the end of the day, you guys make your own decision. And I hope that Grimdark helped you out here a little bit. But good stuff, guys. That was a good review of the Seraphon. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah,
no problem.
So, but Justin, you're going to be able to hang out with us and talk a little bit about Cities of Sigmar, right?
Oh, of course.
Good deal.
My bread and butter armies right now.
That's it. And Steve, this was kind of your topic, man. So I'm going to kind of pitch the ball to you because you guys were going to be talking pretty much about the Hollow Heart and the Greywater Fastness. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the Grimdark Live experience and the show. If you want to support the show, please like and subscribe on YouTube and follow us on our podcast. This way, you'll be alerted when we post new content. If you'd like to support Grimdark Live further, head over to grimdarklive.com, get a t-shirt, dice, or there's Patreon, which makes our show possible. Keeps our mics on and the lights buzzing. Big thanks to everyone, past, present, and future, who have supported Grimdark Live. We do this because of all of you, and of course, we will continue doing this for as long as we can. Okay, you guys ready for more Grimdark Live? Let's get back to the show.
Yeah, definitely Greywater Fastness and Hollow Heart. Those are two armies that Justin is consistently playing, Greywater Fastness more so than Hollow Heart.
Right.
But, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about Hollow Heart is that we know what Greywater Fastness can do. You've already proven that with your Panzer division.
Pretty much.
I mean, you are Rommel. yeah. Field Marshal.
Sure, I'll give you that one, Steve.
Yeah, you are the Field Marshal with that army. But the problem... Well, it's not a problem. The great thing, I should say, about Cities of Sigmar is that it has such a richness of armies within it.
Oh, it's the ultimate kitchen sink army.
Oh, God Almighty! It is the jack of all trades book, and all of them are good.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it does have a few Masters of All in there, and that's the left hooks I was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, so moving away from Anvil Guard, because we know what that can do. We know with the shooting, it can be as devastating as Tzeentch. And, you know, obviously you've proven that with your army. You know, like I said, the trolls love your army. They just get to follow the cannonballs, you know, yep. Especially when we're teaming with you. But Hollow Heart is another list that everyone raves about. It made the top 10.
Yep. And there's a lot of good reasons as to why it made the top 10. You know,
at major tournaments. Yes, and Rich Sauce of this Hollow Heart army, because I have the book right in front of me. I'm looking at it. I found it. I mean, I what this army can do. But I want you to talk a little bit about it because you play cities.
Yeah. So.
So what is it you think this army? What? How does this army compare to like what the Slann can do in Seraphon?
Well, okay. Magically. So they don't have the bound spell ability. But they can pump out so much magic a turn that it'll make your opponent want to puke just because
it's ridiculous.
Like,
yeah.
You blow the dispel counter off the wall.
People playing like 4 to 5 endless spells with this list.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can easily drop 6 endless spells a turn. Oh. Easily. If you do it right, it depends on the way the list is built with your character base. But for the most part, you could get any spell off you want, and there's no way to counter it unless you have a Thanos snap or you have a automatic dispel.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way you're getting this army off the table is you would literally have to have an army that deep strikes and that is lucky enough to get that charge on turn one.
Right, but a smart player is going to screen their mages, and you're never going to get to them.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's so tough because if you take just a big unit of trash troops and throw them in front of your mages, all you have to do is just keep alive.
A 30-man unit of Phoenix Guard with an attuned
warden
that's carrying the Whitefire Tome, which now turns him into a wizard, you're not getting to the wizard line.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Don't they have that arcane channeling?
Yeah, it's the Eldritch Attunement, which makes them immune to spells on a 5+, which can be buffed to a 4+.
Right. But I think the other one that I'm talking about, I think it's Arcane Channeling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is where you choose a wizard and roll a die and deal that many mortal wounds, and then all wizards within 12 inches will add that number to their casting rolls.
Correct. Well, yes, correct. So, but you don't actually dump it on a wizard because wizards are fragile.
Right.
You dump it on things like the Luminarch or the Celestial Hurricanum, which can take the hit, and then you use one of your spell castings to throw Sear Wounds on it and bring it right back to full.
Got it. Okay, that's what it was. Okay. All right.
So you're going to a tournament. You've decided you're taking Hollow Heart. What are you bringing? What does your 2K list look like?
So my 2K list is usually a Hearn Economum because of its abilities to strike you at range and just mortal wound dish. It's going to be a attuned Phoenix Lord that's on foot because he doesn't need to be on anything else. And then the rest of the line is four battle wizards. That's my hero list.
Okay. And then what would you use for your troops?
So 30-man Phoenix Guard unit.
Okay.
Followed by two 20-man handgunner units. And as a deep striking kind of distraction, a 10-man Shadow Warrior. And then the rest of the points go into endless spells. Everything from the Purple Sun all the way down to Glimmering Blades.
So basically those Phoenix Guard are just going to surround those wizards and stay there for the entire game.
They are bubble wrapped in heavy titanium.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere, especially once you get an endless life swarm behind them. They just keep popping up.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're already two attacks, threes by threes, negative one damage one, a four-plus armor by a four-plus ward. And, yeah, if you put the life swarm behind them.
They stand back up.
Yeah.
And the endless spells are going to be wreaking so much havoc on the enemy as they're coming in.
Right. The fact that you can take the Umbral Portal and you shoot a Purple Sun across the board turn one. Because as a City's a Sigmar player, you are automatically enhanced spells. So your Umbral Portal, instead of it being 18 inches away from a player, it's 24. So you're putting that in front line.
Yeah, this army did. I mean, it came in at, I think, number 6 or 7 at CanCon. So
yeah,
people have definitely found the value of this list. I mean, this is basically your spell list. You know, if you're going to play Cities and you want to cast magic, you're taking Hollow Heart. If you want to shoot, you're taking, you know, Anvil Guard. And if you want to fight, if you really want to get into, like, if you're just a slugger, then you're going with Hammer Hall.
Right. I mean, a Umbral Portal into a Purple Sun blazing through four units that are clustered on turn one, you're watching a good chunk of those units just disappear.
Oh, they're disappearing. Yeah, they're disappearing. That's why they're doing so well.
Yeah.
And they just
and if you tar- and if you target it right, if you target it right, you're hitting their key stuff. So you're hitting their shooters, you're hitting their casters, you're hitting their things that are gonna cause you the most damage. So that's where you're basically throwing a big ball of death at their primaries.
Yeah, I just had a nom flashback from our game. What was it last week where you did that to my Beastie Boys?
Oh yeah, and I don't even remember how many units got hit there. I think it was 3 or 4.
Four. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you did that exact. Yeah, and you know what? It's beautiful and horrifying all in the same shot to see that happen.
Right, because the other side of it's on the backside of your line, so come turn two, even if I take the turn and you get to move it, you have to move it either away from your lines or choose one of the other plethora of endless spells that's coming at you, and I put it back into your lines.
Yeah, now imagine you also have, like, when the enemy finally does get to you, you have ignite weapons on the Phoenix Guard. So now they're plus one, add one to the wound rolls.
Correct. Yep,
so
yep.
Now you are just putting the your opponent into a blender when they come at you.
Well, exactly. And if they got to get through the other major spells that Hollow Heart has, roaming wildfire, they got to get through that. They got to get through Elemental Cyclone, which I didn't even use that much because the range on them is kind of limited.
Talk a little bit about, you're talking about the spells now, of the 6 spells. Kind of talk about those a little bit.
Okay, so they're the only faction in Cities of Sigmar that actually have 6 spells in bonus to all the other spells that the mages get from the realms they come from and everything of that matter. Their first primary spell, which is Roaming Wildfire, is just mortal wounds after mortal wounds after mortal wounds for however long you keep rolling a 4+.
Yeah, it's like the Foot of Gork.
It's Wall of Fire.
Wow.
Yeah. Sear Wounds, which is their healing ability to basically heal units out, and that does a die 6 wounds heal, which is a very massive heal. Elemental Cyclone, again, is it's a mortal wound for each 4+, but you're rolling a dice against every model in the unit.
And out of 4+, it takes a mortal wound.
Pretty much.
That's like a Medusa Stera 4+. Yeah. Wow. Nice.
Warding brand is the one that increases the elemental resistance of the army from a 5+ to a 4. So you, again, drop that on the Phoenix Guard, and all of a sudden, any spells that are coming through, any kind of things that have magic based on them, are you're ignoring on a 4+.
Wow, that's nice.
And then Crystal Aegis is a, it adds 1 to the Eldric Attunement. The Crystal Aegis is the one that increases it to a 4. The Warding Brand adds a 4+ ward save against mortal wounds to a unit. So you basically are giving Phoenix Guard save to handgunners.
And then you could also have the ignite weapons on them. So when they do get into combat, they're just murdering anything they hit.
Well, and the thing is, the ignite weapons are not solely close combat. It's any attack. So you can actually ignite the weapons and have them firing firebolts.
Sure. Love it.
So spell wise, that's their bread and butter. They're going to be dumping magic on you every hero phase and then holding and castling and saying, come to me, or getting on an objective and saying, you're not taking this.
Yeah. Especially if it's one of those objective games where it's like stuck out in the middle somewhere.
Right.
The Phoenix Guard are fast. They're going to run up. They're going to get on that objective. And then it's just going to be a nightmare to get them off of it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if this army had the ability to, if you could technically ally this in with Seraphon or something of that matter, all of a sudden you're you could teleport a unit across the table. Oh my God. Just a 40 man source unit dropping on top of an objective with ignite weapons. Holy crap.
Yeah. It's going to be a bad day for whoever comes in.
So, they can tie in really easy, but yeah.
Interesting about this Hallowheart. You know, I got a question for you. Now I've heard a couple of different back and forths since the break of the book, and Hallowheart comes to mind with their battalion. So the Whitefire Retinue.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that battalion?
It's a necessity. You have to take it.
Because
you want to keep your drops down. You're literally putting 6 mages onto the field at one time.
Yeah,
you're
dropping all your heroes
one time.
Yeah.
Including the attuned, because once he picks up that white fire tome, he is a wizard.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. God, the devastating magic potential of that army. And the problem is that you're like the only guy that we know that even plays it.
That's a good point. That's true.
You know, I would love to see the next time we get together, I want you to bring the Hallowheart up. Army. I want to play against this thing.
Well, that's what you had at the last war meet. You played that army, right?
I don't recall if he did or he. I was teaming with him, we played Anvil Guard.
No, Steve, the last one, I went back to Greywater Fastness.
The first one
I played against Noah and his Zinch and you, and it was me and, I can't remember the other guy's name off the top of my head, unfortunately. But yeah, it was we got swept because we couldn't hold the objectives because they popped up.
Oh, that was the one where we played the last game we played against you.
Yeah.
Where the trolls just decided to come over and eat everything that they could.
Pretty much. Yeah. that is the problem, is once you get to my lines, if you start doing enough damage and I'm not making my save rolls.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much magic I have. It's not gonna save me. Yeah,
you've got to have something to defend you.
Right. I mean, you know, so here's my question for you. You have a gun to your head. You can only play one. I guess one or the other. Is it Hallowheart or Greywater Fastness?
Greywater Fastness, hands down.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree.
I'm better with that list. It's more reliable. Yeah.
All right.
It's got enough meat in the grinder to hold you at bay.
Yeah, I've played against it and I've played with it, and both were enjoyable. I mean, it is an army that will literally rip you off the table if he even has one good round of shooting, you're done.
Yeah, well it took out your two units of Trogoths. fairly quickly.
It took out my 9-man unit, and it took out one of, well, it almost took out one of my 12-man units. Yeah.
It almost took 23 trolls off the board in
something
one round
like
of shooting.
That. Yeah. You chewed me up. Yeah. It was, any shooting army in this game now, shooting is now becoming one of the new metas with Tzeentch and this Greywater Fastness. They're tearing everything off the table that they go up against.
Right.
Right. I mean, but So, all right. Greywater Fastness is where it's at. I mean, what's your auto list for that? Real quick before we keep the show rolling here. What's your auto list with that one?
My auto list for that one is it's an engineer and tank as my general, which allows me to take two tanks as battle line. Immediately followed with a 20-man unit of handgunners as my base core. My special units are two. Ooh, sorry. My base specials are going to be Duarden with the Drakefire guns, and then we go from there. I mean, most of my stuff is shooting. I've got Celestial Hurricanums and things of that matter that are literally just enhancers. Everything in my army enhances everything else.
Gotcha. Well, it sounds like you got some skinks invading your house there.
My son's getting ready to go to bed.
No, I got you, man. Family's there, man. Real life sometimes sneaks into this hobby of ours, man. Trust me, I've got four, and Steve's got like 12 from three different women.
Jesus, Steve, you've been busy.
He completely hung up on us. Well, good stuff, man. Good stuff. I mean, I will say this.
What can I say?
Honestly, Justin, you play these armies better than probably anyone I've seen play, and the ability to be able to put these lists together the way that you do is really something, man. It's really something. But you can hang out for a little bit longer, right? Wait a minute. What the hell is that? What's going on?
And now, it's time for that part of the show where we present the rules from hell.
Yes, that's right, Grimdark Goons. It's time for the rules from hell, where we present the game rules from the past or present of the Warhammer worlds that just sucked.
Here it is, gang. The Warhammer rule from hell. Let's face it, sometimes we, the players, are hell to the rules. So listen up here, you short pants little demons. We're pointing our fingers right back at you for getting the rules wrong and making these rules hell on the tabletop. All attacks must be declared before any are rolled. So if you have a monster with four attack profiles, you have to declare targets for all of the attacks before any are rolled. So if the bite kills the hero you're swinging at, you can't then decide to throw the rest into the unit next to him. This could definitely be a rule from hell.
And now you know a rule from hell.
All right, let's get back to the show. We're coming up to the question of the day here.
Yeah, I can hang up a little longer.
That's all right. So I just
wanted to say one more thing for the Greywater, though, is...
Sure.
Their big key advantage is the stacking of buffs, because there's no two buffs that they have that are the same. So literally the entire army is hitting on like ones.
And that's for Greywater Fastness.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we loved having you on, Justin, dude. You're a great friend. You're an awesome guy to game with, game against. And I'm looking forward to it all, man. It's great to have you part of the community and part of the Grimdark gang. Good stuff, man.
No problem. I appreciate it.
Hey gang, I really hope you're enjoying the Grimdark Live show so far. Thanks for being with us. But before we get to the question of the day, I want to ask you to head over to grimdarklive.com to enter the Nerd Bunker by becoming a supporter of the show on Patreon. There are 6 different levels to fit the support you may be interested in, and all provide special benefits and services to our members. So please head over to grimdarklive.com and become a patron of the show.
And while you're on GrimdarkLive.com, you should know that Grimdark Live isn't just there for entertainment. We're a full-time miniatures assembly and painting service. We have three different levels that we currently paint to, and we provide free quotes. So let us know if you have something you need painted, and we'll get it done for you. And if Patreon or painting isn't something you're ready to do at this time, we totally understand. And thank you for spending time with us here on Grimdark Live. So with that said, let's get to the question of the day. So we are rolling on to the question of the day. So here we go. Steve, I think I'm going to throw this out there to Justin first, and then we're going to come back around to you on this one. So here goes. And I'm going to I'll ask the question to each
right
one of you individually. So Justin, to you first. How important is it for a gamer to know the hidden strengths of their army?
I think it's important. You need to read your book. You need to know your strengths. You need to know the ins and outs. If you don't know the strengths of your army, you're going to find yourself kind of on the tail end of most of your games, and you may not enjoy it as much. But if you take the time to build your army out, get the units you like, and learn the niches, there you go, you know?
Right.
I've been doing this so long that it's just one of those things. I look at a book and I look at an army and go, hey, let's see how this pathway works. And don't be afraid to try units that look like they're bad.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to know what works and what doesn't, right?
Right.
Especially before you paint them.
Well, you know what? Painting is a big part of this hobby, and it's one of the most enjoyable parts of the hobby. So,
and folks, that's coming from a painter. Notice how I said quite the opposite. All right. Steve, question of the day right to you. So how important is it for a gamer to know the hidden strengths of their army?
It's absolutely essential if you're going to be a tournament player and you're going to go up against, you know, some of the best guys in the country. But it also depends on, I think there's a lot of other things that go into it. I think there are some people that know the secret sauce of their army, but they don't care. They want to play what they want to play. I think that's evident with me, with my trolls.
Very true.
they're not. Yeah, it's very true. I mean, they are not the best version of Gloomspite Gits. They're tough. They're strong. They're great, but they have terrible weaknesses, like their bravery. But so it's what you must know what does work for your army if you're going to be competitive. So, but I also think there's a branch of people that just don't care. They know what works, but they don't care. They want to play what they want to play.
Yeah.
So I hope that answered the question.
No, it did. It did. You answered it great. My standpoint is, yeah, you know, I mean, if you're not going to get to know your army in and out, what army are you going to get to know?
Then you suffer the consequence.
You know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me from a practical standpoint. You know, yeah, we're all going to get a game in with our friends. We're all going to get a game in doing a little math hammer here on our own. And we're all going to play competitively, if not often, sometimes at some point. So it is important to know your army because you collected it. You bought it.
Yep.
You painted it.
Right.
You based it. You've got the book. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be – this goes back to what we've talked about hundreds of times on the show. Why wouldn't you want to be the best version of yourself in everything you do, including this hobby? Paint the best that you can. Know the army so that you know all the little tricks. You know, I was just kind of gleefully jumping around like an idiot to you guys at the last war meet about some of the tricks I found with my Beast of Chaos. You know, being
and
able
you've
to
been
have,
playing them forever.
Oh yeah, yeah. I have been playing them forever. That's no joke. And so, you find these things, and sometimes when the meta or the army or the battle tome, you get a new one or it evolves. Things pop out. You know, this, if it wasn't for this FAQ, I wouldn't be able to do all these new things with my Beasts of Chaos. So yeah, I think it's important. Probably one of the most important things that a gamer does, because here's the other thing too. I think if you took the time to know that army and its hidden strengths, you wouldn't have so much of this impulse buy and then disappointment throwaway, I think is the best way to put it. So that's
well said.
True.
Yeah. So here it is. We've gotten through the question of the day, and we got the closing thoughts here on the show. And this one is you, Steve. You got the closing thoughts on this one, bud.
Yeah. So here's what I want to say. You know, this virus, you know, that we've all been dealing with has really thrown our community for a loop. You know, many of our favorite stores have ground to a halt. Their businesses are really suffering. So now it's time for us to step up. Even though you can't meet with your crew at your local store, you know, that doesn't mean that you can't pick up a box of figures or buy a book that you've been eyeing for the past couple weeks. These store owners, you know, they give us a place to play and spend time with our buddies. It's time we stepped up and helped protect their business from financial ruin. You know, call them up, offer to buy something over the phone, place an order, buy some paints. You know, if you don't want to go into the store, have them ship it, you know, or just run in and do a stop, you know, or do a brief grab and go. As responsible citizens, you know, we have a duty to be responsible and not contribute to the spread of this virus. But that doesn't mean that we should abandon the guys that give us a home to play every weekend. Since we can't game right now, you know, let's face it, you know, we're at a point in time right now where the hobby is just not an option for us. So let's get that new army painted, finish that terrain, go back over old models and do some detailing. There are plenty of things to do on the home front that can keep us occupied and continuing with our hobby. So in closing, just, you know, be safe, Grimdark Goons, and keep hobbying. And those Absolutely. Are my closing thoughts.
That was a good one. That was a good one. Very fitting for the times that we're in, for sure. And yeah, well said. Well said. Justin, thanks again and again and again for being on the show today, bud. And you're going to come back and hang out on the show again, right?
Oh, yeah. Anytime. Yeah.
And forget about the fact that Steve doesn't watch here. You know, just forget about that right off.
No, you will.
Stop. You know.
that's all right. I'll teach Steve a few things about order playing.
There you go.
He loves trolls.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Are
Uh-oh.
You kidding me? Oh. He had such a good time just having the trolls go up front and beat everything up while he sat
there. Hey, you know what? Everybody needs a meat shield once in a
That's
while.
Right. Everybody needs a meat shield, especially a blue stupid one.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys didn't say meat curtains.
God.
What are you talking about? I'm just adding to the story. You guys are yelling at me all end the time. The show. I can't even talk about anything. No, I will say this, folks, before I end the show. These two guys, out of the top maybe five games I can think of in recent memory, these two guys have played two of those five, and they just watching these two, meaning Justin and Steve on the tabletop playing, it is such a joy to watch these two guys go at it. So if you're ever around and these two guys are on a table and they're fighting with each other, do yourself a favor, watch the game. Good stuff. All right, that's a good way to end the show. Yeah.
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 Another great show.
Grimdark Live, we'd like to thank you for slumming it through another show with us for all things dice, dragons, demons, and a dwarf in the Age of Sigmar worlds. We'll be back live next Thursday, so until then, remember, roll them dice fun and fair, and don't be a frickin' short pants. If you missed the live show, you can catch us again right here on the next Grimdark Live podcast. Never fear, gang. There'll be more great content from Grimdark Live throughout the week with Monster Mondays, Table War Tuesdays, Warhammer Wednesdays, Grimdark Grudge Matches, and a ton more. So stay tuned and stay grim, all you dice chucking, glue sniffing gamer goons. You're all awesome.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Remember, embrace the main message here from Grimdark Live, and that's a social contract we have between gamers and the commitment we have to each other and this community. We're only as good as our last game. Check us out at GrimdarkLive.com. Don't forget to give our channel a like or subscribe if you haven't already done so. So long, Grimdark Goons. Until next time, may the dice gods bless you and your sweaty palms.